With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Prime time on U.S. Open Week.
I was punching out with a 5-iron all day, and I didn't even do that right.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac, Keep the Cart Girl Busy Rock, and Jason Big Slice Sakanik.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Isaac and Suk on 1080.
That's one of the few men that could out-nudity me.
The Fan.
All right, we got Bucks Nets tonight, game 6. Before we get to that, although there's not much to say, no pregame show tonight.
No, the Mills for Rop pregame show will not be occurring.
Harden's going to play.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be any more effective. I mean, he gutted out. He played 40 minutes, but I don't know if his presence out there acts as some sort of inspirational thing or some sort of decoy, but James Harden was terrible in that game. He can't move. I think he was like 1 of 11 or something. So I don't know what James Harden really gives you. This is going to be more of, can Milwaukee pull their head out of their arse in the second half? And can Kevin Durant again play every single minute and score 50 again?
Yeah, Milwaukee's a pretty big favorite tonight. So I think that most people think this is going back to Brooklyn.
Yeah,
for game 7, which would be exciting. I'd be all for that.
Yeah, and I still haven't heard anything like how bad Kyrie's ankle is. So, I mean, if it goes to 7.
It looked pretty bad.
Is like, there a chance? Or
doesn't
is this,
that look like one when he rolled it that's like, oh, that's a couple 3 weeks?
Well, and he was kind of holding it up high a little bit. And those high ankle sprains, those things can linger on. But, so can hamstrings. And James Harden's is anytime I was watching that game, I was just waiting for Harden to pull up.
Hey, I was going to ask a question about that before we get to what happened last night.
Yeah.
Can a guy play? I was reading the other day that they were saying that Harden was lobbying to be able to play, mm-hmm. to be cleared to play.
Sure.
Can a guy play if he wants?
No, the team can rule you out.
I mean, I know the team can rule you out, but if James Harden really wants to play, can't he play?
No.
Or they literally will. Cuff him and put him in a locker.
Utah did this to Donovan Mitchell before game 1. Was it the second round this series, or was it the first round? First round. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, no, I mean, really wants to play.
Yes, they can tell you no. They just, you're not going to play. I mean, it's like,
but what if Donovan Mitchell just goes out there?
Well, again, you
what are you going to do? Pull the, what's that, the hook thing from the Gong Show?
Well,
pull him off of there.
By that argument, the worst player on the team can get up and be like, "Well, I'm in the game."
No, you're not. No, of course you're not. Get out of there.
No,
you suck.
No one would do that. I mean, I guess in theory there have been guys that are like, "I'm going to play. You're not going to stop me." But ultimately, it's up to the team and coach. So,
see, I think it's interesting that players, they want all this autonomy, with their own
medical staff
and their own. I'm getting a second opinion. At some point, it's like, hey. I mean, I know you want to save them from themselves, but at the same time, if Harden wants to freaking play and blow out his hamstring.
Sometimes you have to save players from themselves. I can't believe that he was able to go as much as he did. And boy, if you are Budenholzer, do you just show Giannis the clip of where, like, with a minute and a half left, James Harden waved away the double team? And he body you up one-on-one and Giannis shot a 15-foot turnaround. I would just show that on replay and be like, never, ever is this going to happen again. put your shoulder down. The man's playing on one leg. Get to the rim.
Oh, that's right. It's the play. It's the rosters that you submit.
Yeah.
Right. Like an hour and a half before the game or something.
Yeah. So I mean,
so you can officially make them inactive.
Yes.
But you know, I don't know. I just, this is going to sound old school.
So a net gun, the player on the,
yeah.
Back net to gun my his net, ass. Back to my net guns.
Tie him up, duct tape him to a seat. Courtside.
It sounded like the Donovan Mitchell thing was really quite heated. Donovan Mitchell was told by his guys that he was good to go.
See, okay.
And right before the game, Utah said no, and I guess it was a pretty big argument.
Well, aren't they notoriously conservative with their guys?
That I don't know.
That I thought I read that they've always been that way. I just think that if I ran a team, if I'm Mark Cuban or if I'm, you know, whomever, if the guy wants to get out there, I get him out there. Hell yeah, Donovan Mitchell would have played. And James Harden, you know, once you see him, it's like Harden to me looks like he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, it's his hamstring. Yeah. If he wants to play.
But the difference is if you are a team and you're looking at Donovan Mitchell and you're saying, look, man, we have plans here. We're planning on playing in an NBA championship here. So we don't need you for game one. All right. We need you in the Western Conference Finals. So I think that's where, if you are a medical staff and you're a coach, you sometimes have to save the player for himself, because there's no sense in going out and re-injuring the thing. Like, James Harden wouldn't be playing unless Brooklyn's back was up against the wall. But, you know, they are, and somehow he has convinced them that on one leg that he's worthwhile to have out there.
But Mitchell felt like he was okay to go.
Yeah, he did.
And Harden, you know, it's one thing when they're like really not, and they're like, I want to play. It's another when they, you know, it's debatable. They kind of are ready to go and you hold them back.
Yeah.
Anyway, who cares? Okay.
I've seen that a lot in basketball is different, because in basketball, you have to be obviously so mobile. Then in football, they just give you a needle and you get a lot of tape and some painkillers and, you know, away you go.
Yeah, I feel like football, they're going to put your ass out there.
Yeah. There's
whereas in the NBA, they're like, no.
Yeah.
You're our thoroughbred. We need you in the stable to keep you healthy.
The best way I put it is in the NBA, you're dealing with a bunch of Ferraris and they're very temperamental and, you know, everything has to be just so. And in the NFL, man, you're just dealing with Mack trucks and you just, I have seen guys on a Friday not be able to walk, literally like can't walk. And you just sit there and you're like, oh my God, like there's no way. And then on Sunday, the guy's out there running around and you're just sitting there like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. But again, a lot of painkillers, a lot of Toradol, and a lot of tape can go a long way. Plus in the NFL, you know, the plays are so short and you've got, you know, you're not on a hard surface. You're on a softer surface. You got time in between plays and it's little short bursts of explosiveness. And a lot of those positions too, you can kind of get by with just kind of grit. But when you're an NBA guy and you're James Harden out there, he played 46 minutes in that game. Dude, that's...
Yeah, it's just interesting to me that
you can get exposed so easily, and yet he...
Well, he was. I mean, he only had 5 points. Yeah. And he sucked.
Yep.
But I guess it's better to have him out there than not, even hobbled like that. I don't know. It's just interesting to me. We have a dynamic where it's always been, hey, rub some dirt on it, get out there, right? The old school mentality that players have stopped. Players have started to get their own trainers and their own opinions, right?
Yep.
But we also have the other dynamic of, hey, we don't want our stars to play. We want to be very careful with our stars when they want to play and it's a big game. You know, nobody ever thinks about that dynamic.
Yeah.
But it's out there too.
Yeah. Well, like you look at, too, like the Mets right now with DeGrom, who's the best player in baseball. They said that the MRI on his shoulder came back clean and there's nothing wrong with it, but they have pulled him after three innings. Then the last one, I think it was 4 innings. They've pulled him early in his last two starts.
And he's pitching great.
He's dominant.
And he's hurt.
Yeah. He has been.
He's pitching great, but he's hurt.
But the moment anyone feels, and I wonder, cause he says he's fine, but the moment he's like, I don't know, my shoulder, they're like, get out of here. Like, they couldn't treat him with more kid gloves if they tried.
So well, that's true.
It's a...
But in baseball, that's a little different with pitchers, right? Because you can't have... If DeGrom feels any inkling of pain, that's smart to get him out of there and see what's going on,
yeah,
right?
They're like, not you messing can't, around.
Yeah, they're not. But it's just... It's kind of a different... It's just a different thing with pitchers.
He struck out 8 of 9 batters in the 3 innings, and they're like, and
ow, my arm.
Like, you get out of here. And the last one, he threw 4 or 5 basic perfect innings, and he had given up 1 hit. Same thing. They're like, dude, you're out of here. We can't risk it. So it's a team-to-team, sport-to-sport thing, and I also think it matters of the situation. If that was Game 6 of the World Series, something tells me that DeGrom isn't coming out in the third inning.
That's interesting. All right, Hawks come back from 26 down, or Paul George goes off and the Clippers win. What was more shocking last night? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news is coming up next. Last night in the NBA was bananas as the Hawks came back from 26. They were 26 down. I turned that off. Do you blame me?
No, I don't at all.
They're 26. I mean, I know NBA leads can shrink quickly, but Jesus.
They said that, for the 25 or more in the second half, Philadelphia was 146-0 in their last 146 games like that.
Yeah.
And they're now 146-0.
How did they blow that? Is that just because they have Doc Rivers as their coach?
I don't know if there's just, it's under a bad omen, but this is 2 games in a row where they have been blowing out the Atlanta Hawks, and they cannot finish it.
So what is it, 3-2 Atlanta now?
3-2 Atlanta.
And it should be over. Philly should have won that.
Yes.
4-1.
Atlanta won the first one, and then Philadelphia blew them out twice. And you're like, well, okay, they just, you know, great. You got your one, and here's the gentleman sweep. They were killing them in the first half in what that would have been Game 4. Atlanta found a way to come back. That was the one where Simmons went – Embiid went 0 for 12 in the second half. And now you have this one where they're up by 26 and they still found a way to gack it away. And Ben Simmons, I think, took 2 field goals.
Yeah.
2 field goal attempts in the second half. He finished with 11 points. And again, 1 for 5 from the free throw line. I mean, you just, you can't keep doing this.
What's
you
he
just
shoot
can't
from the free throw line?
In the postseason right now?
No, just, well. Yeah, well, whatever. Generally, he's worse than Giannis.
Yeah, he's worse than Giannis. Because we asked the
59%.
We asked the question at the beginning of like 3-4 games in the playoffs. Gun to your head, you have to have Ben Simmons or Giannis make a free throw for you.
Taking Giannis.
And at this point, you're taking Giannis.
So Ben Simmons is 59.7 for his career.
Yeah,
free throw. And by the way, does it seem like the shooting percentage of bad free throw shooters is going up? In other words, the bad ones are actually getting better.
They're getting a little better.
I mean, they still suck, but it used to be, DeAndre Jordan was really bad. Well, he was like 40.
And Shaq was bad. And
Antetokounmpo 71.7 for his career.
Yeah, he just can't do it in the postseason. And he's had 2 10-second violations at the free throw line. Follow me on this, though. This is Ben Simmons in the Philadelphia season from the free throw line. He has been 3 of 10, 0 of 2, oof, 4 of 8, 1 of 5, 4 of 14.
Man.
I mean, he has shot 30%, 0%, 50%, 20%, and 28% in this series. So, and by the way, get rid of game 1, whatever. their last two close losses have been by what? 3 points? There you go. And the fact that he won't shoot in the second half, it neuters their offense because he's terrified of getting to the free throw line. He won't drive. He won't be aggressive.
Yeah, they got to somehow. I mean, this is why you pay Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
That's why you brought Doc Rivers in. You got to free him up. I mean, you can't. I don't know.
You mean the Doc Rivers that also blew leaves with the Clippers in the playoffs?
Yes, that Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, I think, is a good coach, but. Yeah, I think he's a good coach. Mm. But there's no reason that they should be down 3-2 in the series. Worst free throw percentage all time? Do you know who it is?
Of all time?
Well, actually, these aren't in order of all time. These are just best players with worst free throw percentage. But Chris Dudley only shot 46% for his career.
But he wasn't good.
No. He was okay.
No, he wasn't.
He was too.
Stop it.
You stop it.
What was it? I bet you his career averages are 4-3.
Better than that.
What is it?
Well, I don't know. I got to look it up.
Don't give me that Chris Dudley was good.
I didn't say he was good. I said he was. What
you
did I say?
Say he was good.
What did I say? Did
you
I say
said he was good?
Hmm. That might be the worst thing you've ever said.
He was better than you. Well, he wasn't a slouch.
Oh, okay. By the way, what did I say for his career totals?
4-3 or something.
His career total for points: 3.9 points per game.
Damn it!
And okay, 6 rebounds.
Yeah, in your face.
Yeah.
So chew on that.
By the way, I was damn close right there.
All right. He was worse than I thought. Okay. Ben Wallace, 41.5.
Yeah, he was.
He was terrible. He was, and Wilt,
yeah,
51.1.
And Wilt for a while went granny, didn't he?
Mm. I don't know about that. I hope he owned it.
I think Wilt shot some grannies.
Shaq, 52.7.
Yeah.
Rodman, 58. Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's a career 60% free throw shooter. Did you know that?
I would have
thought he was worse.
Yeah, 60's bad. I mean, I know he couldn't shoot, but
60
yeah.
is bad, but I used to think maybe I'm just thinking of the college guys that were really bad, but I always thought that the really, really, really bad ones, like guys who can't 50%. Shoot, were in the 40s, some even in the 30s.
Karl Malone and David Robinson, I think, both turned themselves into pretty good free throw shooters because I think both of them had their struggles.
Well, anyway,
by the way, Ben Simmons is an NBA All-Star, their second best player. There's two games this series where Ben Simmons has attempted 3 and 4 shots.
Yeah.
I mean,
he can't shoot.
I 2 for 4?
What do you want him shooting? Like
2 for 4?
Yeah. Well, they got to get on. He's got to be on the fast break.
Does your second best player attempt 4 field goals in a must-win game?
Well, he can't shoot.
That just blows my mind. By the way, Karl Malone, first year in the league from the free throw line, 48%. Then 59.
Whoa.
And after that, he was a 70-plus percent free throw shooter every year of his career.
Wow.
And ended up being a 74% guy.
So why don't these guys call Karl Malone?
I don't know. That is one of the strangest things. And I get that there's, you know, you're a bigger guy and like with the Shaq thing and he had the wrist injury, but I will never fully understand how a guy as athletic as Ben Simmons or you know, whatever, especially when it's guards that can't shoot a better percentage. That stuns me.
Don't you think some of it's mental too?
It's got to be.
All right. Well, Playoff P had a nice night.
Playoff P had a great night, and give him credit because people bury that guy for disappearing in big moments. And with no Kawhi Leonard, and now granted Utah didn't have Mike Conley. We seem to kind of forget that. Everyone's like, well, you know, they didn't have Kawhi Leonard. Well, Utah didn't have one of their all-stars either. I know they're not equal, but, you know, Utah has been doing this without him. But that's a big boy pants sort of performance.
I was really surprised the Clippers were able to win that.
Yes.
And
they were down by 10 early, and you're like, Utah made what, 10 threes in the first quarter?
Yeah.
How does that not bury a team? And I think...
Weren't they like 3 of 24 in the second half?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about not making... it's all about just making shots.
I think they missed 10. They made 10 in the first quarter. I think they missed 10 in the third.
Well, we sleep on Paul George a little bit because... And, you know, he's kind of a baby sometimes and a little whiny and, you know, the Damian Lillard Oklahoma City thing and...
Talented.
God, he's good.
Yep.
And he's that unique wing... length archetype that everybody wants, right? Like Paul George is a pretty he's just, his type of player is rare.
Yeah.
And you kind of forget how good he is. You know, I was just looking at his playoff stats, which are still very good. Wilton big moments. Yeah, of course. I mean, you get that reputation from somewhere. People don't just make it up,
yeah,
right? But at the same time, too, some of it could be that you just compare him. When you see the true greats like Kevin Durant or Curry or LeBron do these amazing things. Lillard did it. Of course, they lost the game, but in that series against Denver. But you see amazing, I mean, truly otherworldly performances like that. We kind of assume because Paul George is so good that he should be doing that too.
Yeah.
There's a hair of that that's a little unfair, right? He's not the best player in the league. He's tremendous.
Yeah.
He's not LeBron or Durant. Yeah. And because we see we're spoiled by the LeBron Durant, you know, big time playoff performances. George really hasn't had a lot of those. Although at Indiana, dude, they were in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
He got to the West or the East Finals twice. You know, I was looking at his total playoff games played. He's played 101 playoff games. Damian Lillard's played 62.
Huh.
I mean, Paul George dude's been around.
That's more seasoned than you would have thought.
Yeah, but name the biggest thing that he's done in the playoffs, Paul George.
Yeah. I guess making the conference finals twice. I mean, you kind of forget about that, but, you know, and he was the best player on that team, so... Not only can you make the, obviously he's played more playoffs games than Damian Lillard, but he has been to two conference finals and Lillard's been to one. So
I mean, they lost to Miami both. He lost to LeBron both times,
and that's nothing
in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Nothing to sneeze about. Who hasn't lost to LeBron?
Right. So you know, for as much fun as we make of Paul George, which we should, he's sensational, and he showed that last night. You know, big time players rise up in big time playoff moments. You saw it with Durant. And it's no surprise you're seeing it with Paul George. A little late, but...
And there may be an element, too, of, like you said, with, you know, big-time players rising and with no Kawhi Leonard, you know, maybe that's one of those things where he comes out early with a different mindset.
Yeah, he said that's what he said.
Yeah, and you know you're going to have to be aggressive. It was when Kawhi's on the floor, maybe there's that you defer a little bit, and, you know, as opposed to being the guy, and I know you would obviously rather have Kawhi Leonard, but... Look, if you're going to lose a guy like Kawhi Leonard, you can do a hell of a lot worse than having Paul George there to be your number one option.
Blazers need to get that guy. Don't you think?
It would be, if you could find a way to pair...
CJ for George.
If you could find a way, and we've said this for years, that Paul George would be the perfect complement to Damian Lillard.
Him or Butler?
Yes.
I love Butler.
Well, Giannis too, so...
Giannis too.
Kawhi Leonard?
Go get one of those guys.
Yeah, one of those guys. A true two-way star.
Kawhi? All right. Now we're just being silly. Do you want to get to In the News, ITN?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Let's take a look. We have, Best and Worst States to Live, 2021 edition.
I thought Washington was already number one.
This is a different one.
Oh.
And this is the new year.
Oh, last year Washington was number one.
Yesterday's news. Who is number one? No, who is number 50?
Hopefully we've gone back to back.
Here's another little tease. It's one of our three states. You're a Washingtonian.
Yes.
I'm originally a Kansan. You could also call me an Oregonian or you an Oregonian. Well, you're not really an Oregonian. You're a Washingtonian.
Yeah.
Or you could call you an Alaskan.
There you go.
And then we call Mike a New Jerseyan. It's
not going to be New Jersey.
It can't be New Jersey.
Jersey can't be the number one place
to live. It cannot be New Jersey. Here's Mike.
Selling a little... or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hot five coming up. U.S. Open update, you know, all the stuff. But we got very special Thursday in the news here.
What is so special about it?
Well, it's my last one of the week. So.
Oh, that is special. Well, your last one for like 4 days.
Yeah. I'll be back Tuesday. So it is June 17, 2021. Time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Today is Global Garbage Man Day.
Oh, okay. Go Garbage Man.
It is also National Eat Your Vegetables Day.
I had my veggies today.
I did too. I had broccoli.
See, that's I can't do broccoli.
Love broccoli.
I find it vile. And I don't know about you if you do this, but I do not. I just eat my vegetables first. I view it as like just I'm getting
them out of the way.
I get it out of the way.
I do that all the time.
I make a veggie with every meal that I eat. But I sit down and I may leave a piece or two to mix in with something else. But for the most part, I just power right through the veggies and then I move on to the good stuff.
I tell you what, you haven't lived until you've had Biggs chickens, broccoli with pimento cheese spread.
Doesn't that probably take away the benefits of eating vegetables?
Oh, I don't care. It's just good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Do you like Brussels sprouts?
I do.
Do you?
I actually love Brussels sprouts. If done well, I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, if done well, Brussels sprouts are incredible. Yeah,
I'm not a Brussels sprouts guy, but my buddy's wife makes...
mean Brussels sprout?
It's like eating a dessert. Mm. It is so good, but
It's like maple, honey, bacon. Mm.
But I feel like you might as well just eat like cake because there's no like any sort of nutritional benefit you get is done away with by the cream sauce and the bake. It's just they're amazing, but it's not really eating vegetables.
Well, you still are consuming the vegetable.
Yeah. No matter what you slobber it in, you are getting a vegetable.
Yeah, but that's like when someone's like, I'm just having a salad and I'm going to put bacon and croutons and ranch. And you're like, yeah, that's kind
of at least you still have a lot of lettuce with all of the other stuff.
Brussels sprouts are delicious side.
Yeah, she makes they're unbelievable. So, Heather, if you're out there listening, just know that those are the only good Brussels sprouts I've ever had.
OK, we've got an emergency in Oregon.
We do.
Yes, we have an emergency news conference. Apparently, there is a chlorine shortage.
So don't pee in the pool.
So we have another Oregon management entity that you've probably never heard of. You know how we always have, like, we have all these... We have so much...
Like red tape.
Yeah. The Oregon Office of Emergency Management will hold a Thursday afternoon press conference to discuss a chlorine shortage.
Now, to be fair, there's a national chlorine shortage, too. I mean, I've read this. They're saying, like, places across the country.
Now, why do we not have chlorine?
I don't know. My guess is just a supply chain thing. And, you know, it's probably not all manufactured here. And I don't know. It was maybe 2-3 weeks ago I read something that said that this summer, places across the United States are in some trouble because there's a chlorine shortage.
A Portland Water Bureau spokesman says the city's water is safe and there is no immediate threat of a water shortage. However, an emergency press conference is going on right now.
So
they say it could potentially impact local water and sewer utilities and their customers, which is you and I, fella.
Oh, no.
And our listeners.
Okay. So it's not something to worry about, but we are having a emergency meeting.
This says the chlorine shortage was caused by an equipment failure at a manufacturing facility on the West Coast.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Hillsborough's water department says staff have implemented measures to extend chlorine supplies while the department is working with other manufacturers to get more chlorine, which is used to treat drinking water by killing harmful bacteria and viruses.
Okay. Well, and that, and, you know, the whole fun in the sun sort of thing, too.
Look, this is the Super Bowl for the Oregon Office of Emergency Management. Yeah. Rise up.
Because this says right here, too, because that's on a different scale, but this says right here, this is a national story out of Houston. Local pool owners and pool supply stores feel the impact of nationwide chlorine shortage.
Is that a first world problem? Not really, though.
Well, this, like the one here, I mean, that's in your drinking water, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say across
pool problems.
Pool problems are probably a first world problem.
Okay, best and worst states to live, 2021 edition. How about this? Can you believe this? This is from Wallet Hub, and it was just published June 15th.
Well, Washington was number one last year. That's all I know.
Their methodology. Whoop. Crap. Hold on.
Their methodology is apparently crap.
In order to determine the best and worst states to live in, WalletHub compared the 50 states across five key dimensions: affordability, economy, education and health, quality of life, and safety. They evaluated those dimensions using 52 relevant metrics, which are listed below with their corresponding weights. Each metric was graded on a 100-point scale, with a score of 100 representing the most favorable living conditions. There are things like under affordability, it's housing affordability, median annual property taxes, cost of living, home ownership rates. Under economy, it's things like your unemployment rate.
I feel like this is like
population growth.
This is like getting a quarterback rating. A lot goes into it. Yeah. How about just that?
Well, I tell you what, there is a lot, and that makes you feel like it's a better list, right? Because they're point weighting everything here. High school graduation rates.
Sure.
Average hours worked per week, average commute time they're taking into account.
Actually feels like that's a pretty detailed dive into where you want to live.
Quality of roads, bars per capita, which should be full weight.
Exactly.
Violent crime rates and all that. Okay, so number one on the list. Top state to live in the United States of America.
Well, you said it's one of our states, so please tell me it's not New Jersey.
It's either Alaska, Kansas, Oregon, Washington, or New Jersey.
It's not going to be Alaska. It's going to be.
It's not going to be Kansas.
It's going to be New Jersey. It's going to be New Jersey.
It is New Jersey.
Why?
Why is right.
Why?
I always tell you guys, it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be.
I understand that, but there's a difference between it's not as bad as you think and the best place to live.
Damn, man. Number two.
My mom proudly sent me this list today.
Yeah. Oh, I would be very proud. I was surprised to see New Jersey at the top of this list. If my state were at the top of this list, I would feel great. Of course, my state is not.
No.
Massachusetts is number two.
See that?
New York is three.
I can see those.
Idaho, fourth. How about that?
Look, I have long said that it's Idaho, but dude, I have a lot, because my experiences in Idaho were kind of growing up and none of them were spectacular. I know a lot of people that have that are buying like lake homes and stuff out there in Idaho or go there on vacation and just swear by that place.
Coeur d'Alene's the number one market in the country.
Yeah, I haven't dipped my toes into Idaho in a long, long time, but a lot of people swear by it.
My home state of Kansas, 24th. Washington, 30th.
How did we go from number one?
Well, it's a different list.
Yeah,
it's a different list.
More detailed list.
Different criteria. Oregon, where do you think Oregon ranks?
Well, if Washington's 30th, I'm going to go Oregon like 35th.
38th.
Yeah.
Not good, dude. Oregon's sandwiched right in between Arizona and Kentucky. With West Virginia creeping up on us. What the hell?
See, this list, I have a hard time with that.
Well, Oregon's got a lot of issues, man.
It does, but we're...
Beautiful state, but...
We're on par with West Virginia?
Well, hey, look. The numbers are the numbers.
Well, you're above West Virginia.
Yeah.
Said, two
spots ahead.
Right there.
Okay, worst states to live. Alaska is 49.
That doesn't surprise me. We're always number one in suicide rate. If that, you know.
Yeah. What's the worst thing about Alaska? Is it
the winter?
Well, I was gonna say outside of weather. I mean, we all know it's pretty.
You just can't get any
extreme.
Anywhere you go, it's a.
It's just hard to get.
It's hard to get anything. Stuff's expensive, and unless you live in Anchorage, there's just
remote.
It's remote. I mean, and even then, you move a couple hours outside of Anchorage, and you're in the middle of nowhere.
There's only one state worse, gentlemen.
See, I would have thought Alaska was 50. I don't know. Somewhere in the deep south, like Mississippi.
It is not in the deep south.
No?
I am speaking.
The Dakotas.
Kansas.
I just told you, Kansas is 24th.
I'm kidding.
Don't be an ass. It is the not-so-great state of New Mexico. Worst state to live in. New Mexico.
I've been to New Mexico a handful of times, and while there are beautiful parts to it, I can see that. You driving around New Mexico, at least from my experience, it's not good. It seems like it's a place.
But
that's a
come on,
down
it's got to be better than Alaska.
At least you can drive places,
right?
Right.
And there are other states attached to it.
Yeah, but Alaska's beautiful. We got that.
Yeah. Oregon did rank first on highest income growth. Oregon, California, Washington were the top three in highest income growth. Of those 52 metrics, they broke down the top five in each one.
Unfortunately, as your salary's gone up a little bit, the housing prices have gone up tenfold. So have fun with that.
Lowest average weekly work hours, Oregon, T2. We don't work.
Oh.
By the way, you Utahns, your brethren, lowest average weekly work hours, Utah.
We kind of already knew that, though, right?
Did we?
That's because everyone in Utah is busy running a pyramid scam, so.
it always just kind of feels like it's like during the summer, Fridays, everyone's off. You know, there's just like a vibe of more outdoor, chilling environment.
If you meet someone from Utah, they've got some vitamins or some knives or something to sell you. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Pyramid scheme?
Yeah. No. All right. Run the other way.
We have essential workers could be getting big bonuses in Oregon next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, a couple more stories here for in the news. ITN, June 17th. Girl Scouts have 15 million boxes of unsold cookies.
Seems like a lot of cookies.
Now, typically, they sell about $800 million worth of cookies every year.
What a scam.
That's 200 million boxes. But because of COVID, the little girlies did not want to get out there and catch your
cooties. So basically, your free labor dried up, and now we found out that no one really wants your overvalued cookies.
Well, you got to admit they're pretty cheap.
They are. They're pretty cheap, but they're just I've always said, unless they're bringing them to your door or to your work, and you don't have like the whole, oh yeah, it's a little kid, I'll buy him. No one's going out seeking Girl Scout cookies. If Girl Scout cookies went away tomorrow, no one's the worse for the wear.
Tell you what, you should watch out for a trapdoor at some point.
Big Girl Scout cookies gonna do me in.
They're coming after your ass.
Probably.
I don't know anybody with this opinion. Because Girl Scout cookies are great.
They're not great. They're cheap and they're readily available.
Well, that
they're
too.
The Applebee's of cookies.
Cookies have a 12-month shelf life, so they are scrambling to get these sold. 15 million boxes. They want you to go online and buy them, so
no,
do that.
No, I won't.
Do it.
I'm not buying your very average cookie online when I can go to the grocery store and get 30 different kinds of cookies that are far superior.
So sexist. Such a hater. Canceled. Canceled.
Look, I'm not buying the Boy Scout cookies either, to be honest.
They don't have cookies.
I'd be very uncomfortable if they did. I don't want some 9-year-old boy and his weird Scoutmaster in their neckerchief coming around to sell me cookies. What are the Weebelos hawking? I don't want any of that.
I don't know why they never did it, but I mean, the Girl Scout cookies, you got to hand them this. It's been a huge $800 million
every year.
It's unbelievable. Again, it's a thing. Why are the boys? What are the boys doing?
I don't know. I think it's the idea that you can't tell, like, when a little girl is like, would you like to buy some cookies? Guys, like, your heart breaks. You're like, yeah.
Hey, you want to buy cookies?
Yeah. You get some kid whose voice is cracking, and, you know, he's,
you buy
he's
cookie,
cookies. You're like, no, I don't want to buy your cookies. Go away. I think the Boy Scouts sell popcorn, and no one buys it. I think theirs is like caramel corn. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, look, your opinion on Girl Scout cookies is a bad opinion, but you're entitled to it. And finally, Oregon is going to do something nice for essential workers. That would be us. Oh, hey, it would be us.
We're essential.
That's right.
I've got
we redeemed essential.
Chad Thunderwolf.
I wonder how far down this goes. Grocery store workers, restaurant workers, custodial workers,
radio
hospital
host.
Workers, certainly fan radio hosts.
Girl Scout cookie salesman.
Because Oregon got $2.6 billion from the feds as part of the American Rescue Plan, and they put... Somebody has put together a bill in the House down in Salem, House Bill 3409, which would give essential workers, basically just give them a one-time bonus of up to $2,000.
Oh, so do we?
Give it a money.
Do we get to?
It's always about you. How about you?
I didn't say, I said we.
I don't care. If I got
said
one,
we.
You know what I would do if I got one?
What?
I would give it to my restaurant buddies.
No, you.
Yes, I would.
I don't.
I absolutely would. I'll document it to make me look better, too.
Put that out on social media, will you?
Yeah, look what I'm doing.
Hey, look at me.
Hey, look at me. Some Republicans have said their concerns over the bill are that they're still giving a $300 bonus to those that are unemployed. So they don't want to, you know, just hand out more money, hand out more cake.
Yeah.
You know.
A little cheddar here and there.
But all right, I think we're done. What are you doing over there?
Reading Girl Scout cookies. People are very angry at me.
Well, yeah, it was a bad take.
No, I'm standing by it.
Well, that's fine. It's your opinion, but it's stupid.
I don't think anyone once through the pandemic was like, God, you know what? I miss Girl Scout cookies. I don't believe it.
No, I forgot about them, too.
Exactly.
But, you know, if the little girls were standing there at Fred Meyer, I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Suk on the Girl Scout cookie take.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are both...
Be ready for the Girl Scout cookie hatred and...
Commies.
Like the... there's a group of 12-year-olds waiting outside right now to knife us and shank us.
I had this thought yesterday because I saw the story about the shortage or whatever, or the extra that they had. And I was like, these are kind of overrated, aren't they? That's just my thought. It's like, yeah, some of them are pretty good.
I think they're good. Yeah, I could see why you're saying they're overrated. They're just cheap and, like you say, readily. There's a point to what
you're
saying.
Anytime I see them, I always go with the shortbread ones.
Dude, I think those Thin Mints are so...
I like the samosas or whatever they're called now, the coconut ones. But
those Thin Mints are amazing.
Yeah, they're dry and overrated.
The Boy Scouts need to be selling something because they got to pay off that $8 gajillion sex lawsuit that they're currently dealing with. They better start figuring out something to sell and sell it fast.
When is the Girl Scout one going to come out?
Yeah, I would assume, right?
You know what I mean?
Look, if that was going on in the Boy Scouts, something tells me something was going on in the Girl Scouts, too.
All right, guys. In the news, June 17, 2021. Hot 5 at 5 coming up next. We'll get you a U.S. Open update and the Bucks on the brink of elimination next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.